notes for the sermons featured here can be found at our website, henriettacf.org. Also, on Android or iOS mobile devices, you can find them on the YouVersion app. Just click on Search for Live Events and enter our zip code 14543. Without further ado, here's this week's sermon.
You know, a lot of people who come to Christ because their atheism, you know, wasn't as good as Christianity. But the atheism that I'd walked in fell of its own weight, you know. I mean, I walked away from atheism 2 years. This just came to me recently. I bumped into some people up in the barn during the barn sale that said they were atheists, and I told them I used to be an atheist, but, you know, it just wasn't enough, and I had to go, looking for something more, something better. And anyways, but it took me 2 years to find that something better. So, you know, so it fell of its own weight. You know, and one of the things was that, you know, absent God, atheism produces an elite. And you know what? I didn't like that those people that everybody held up as being these wonderful examples of what it meant to be a great atheist and everything. It was just like they were not people that I wanted to be. And, you know, two was that there was things that I clearly understood somehow intuitively were wrong, and atheism was powerless to give me any answers as to how to do anything about it. And then the third thing, and this is the part where, you know, as we walk out at some point from having received at the Lord's table today, you know, is that I looked at these people that were professing faith in Christ, faith in God, you know, and it was apparent to me that their lives were better. They were better people than I was. You know, and I mean, that's, I don't know if I'd have said that out loud at the time, but I mean, I knew these people were better than me. And, what I mean by that is just that the lives that they lived were a witness to me. And I thought, you know, if I'm right and they're wrong, that ought not to be so. You know, and so I went on this journey looking for something to believe in. And I found Christ. And it's interesting that God had planted the seed before that journey even began. You know, that I, in essence, walked away from that because somebody's bold enough to tell me about Jesus. And, when I beat the daylights out of them with my arguments, and they just wouldn't give up, wouldn't back down, just kept coming back with a smile, you know, and I thought the confidence that I saw, you know, in that one or two people, most Christians, it was just, I found I was surrounded by Christians, you know, most of my life, and they were just like, no, you know, they weren't going to take that chance and, you know, get verbally beat up by me. I mean, I didn't yell at them, I just, you know, just turned everything they said into hooey. You know, and I was quite capable, you know. But I understand at this point that I'd learned a bad habit, which was winning arguments even when I thought I was wrong. And that was something that God had to lead me in repentance of, you know, at some point in my life. Right, Sue? In the living room, I think that was, right? Yeah, so just a few things. We have, of course, the church picnic today. Set on kind of a two-hour format, so it's not like, oh, I'm going to be here for all day long unless you want to be. You know, you're welcome to stay as long as you like, but, you know, we're going to have food and we're going to do, you know, the different things. But we need to pray for Sarah Perkins. We have good reports from her that they're, you know, really wearing her out, but nonetheless that she is doing well, but we need to keep her up in prayer. And Bethany... it's Muscaniana, which is the Bonowitz's daughter. Okay, just had the baby. Baby's doing really, really well. Bethany is going through something with really high blood pressure, okay? And I'm not going to take the chance of mispronouncing medical conditions, things like that. I don't know that that's that important for us to discuss. But we're going to lift her up in prayer for relief from that not become something that tries to steal her joy or affect her life. And so other prayer requests, people we should be keeping in prayer? Yes, sir? Kai doesn't feel well? Okay. All right. We'll keep her up in prayer. Yes. Yes. Right knee flared up. Okay. All right. Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Others? Yes, sir. Oh, Lyme disease. Yeah. It's terrible. This one of those ones where, you know, we've kind of lost it a little bit. And all the other crazies, Zika viruses and all this kind of stuff, we forget Lyme is serious stuff. Yeah, okay. Yes, ma'am? Okay. Yeah. Let's pray for the seniors that are having senior issues, because she's not the only one, okay? We've had a few, you know, come to our attention. So we'll pray for her, though. Yes. Yeah. Was that local? North Carolina. Okay. Yeah, because there's somebody just, you know, a couple days ago in the news. Okay. All right. Okay. Well, I'm going to do my best. And if I forget one, don't sit back and say, "Crying, well, the pastor forgot one." You got voices, right? And so, all right. So, Father, we thank you this morning for your love and mercy and for just the gracious way that you you just respond to us and you hear our prayers and you answer them. And, Lord, we pray this morning, Lord, for all those whose names have been lifted up. And, Lord, we pray for Sarah Perkins, Lord, that you would bless her down there in being deployed with the Red Cross, that you'd that provision, Lord, that they would treat her well and give good provision for her and her teams and help them to get their work done. And, Lord, we pray that we know that they do it with excellence. But, Lord, we pray that you would just add to that excellence your blessing. And, Father, we lift up Bethany Muscagnana to you, Lord, and we ask you to just bless her in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would touch her and bring healing to her body, Lord, that high blood pressure be gone, Lord, if there's whatever it is that's causing it, Lord, you know, you see everything, Lord, in ways that are so far beyond us, but Father, we pray, bring healing to her body in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray for Marilyn, Lord, for this knee injury, Lord, that's flared up, Father, that you would bring peace to her body, Lord God, health and healing and wholeness to her, Lord, and relief from pain and from disability, and Lord, and in its place, strength. And Lord, we pray for the family of this young man that passed away down in North Carolina without explanation. Father, we pray for peace with them, for them while they wait to hear. And Father, for just speed, Lord, for the people that are working on this to be able to bring answers, that this family doesn't just languish, not knowing what's going on. But Lord, that they would know your love in the midst of all of this. And Lord, we pray for, Kai. We got Kai, Lord, not feeling well this morning. Father, we pray healing to her body, Lord God, peace to her. And Father, that you would just touch her where she is and give her healing. Lord, we pray for Janine's mom with some senior issues here, that you would just bless her, Lord God. And the others, that I don't know what it is this season right now. Maybe it's just all the confusion in the air, Lord God, that just making it difficult for these folks. But Father, we pray, Lord, for sound minds and for peace and for, Lord, just something this of your Holy Spirit just to be at work in their hearts that just moderates and helps them to just kind of be on the right track. We pray for this friend of the Sims, Lord, that with Lyme disease, Father, that you would bring healing, health, wholeness to her body, Lord, to know the healing power of Jesus in her body. And, of course, Virgil, my friend, our friend. And Lord, we do. Lord, we ever lift him up to you until we see the complete fulfillment of your promises to us. Ah, Lord, we come before you in your courts. And Lord, we bring with us, Lord, Virgil, Lord, Lord, you've seen every day. And Lord, we pray that this be the day, Lord, that healing starts to break forth inside of him, and he starts to experience the complete fulfillment of those promises over him. And Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. And am I forgetting any? Oh, no. You doing all right? Doing all right? Yeah? Doing good? All right, good. And so, Lord, we pray your blessing over your word. And, Lord, we're just going to take a little time in your word just to let you in, just to let you in and do a work in us. And so, Father, we pray that in this time that we have in our hands, Lord, that we'd use it wisely, Lord, that our hearts and minds be sharp and ready to receive. And, Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, oh yeah, reminder, please keep praying for the Ukraine team. There are prayer cards on the tables out back. If you'd like one, I've got some in my hands even now as we speak. And yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
Actually, I wanted to say something.
Oh, good. Good, go ahead. Yeah, what's up? No, yeah, what's what you got?
As you know, they want to rezone the farmland in Henrietta. And so during lunch college, I do have a petition that those that live in Henrietta that are against the rezoning of the farmland.
Okay. Absolutely, yeah. Well, I see. Maybe we can set it at one of the tables, and you know, people just know it's there. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's kind of. I've been talking to a lot of the people that are involved in, and they have been to a lot of the meetings. I haven't been able to be to every one of them, but I don't quite have the picture yet. But there does seem to be an issue of right and wrong here, and so you know, so I mean, it's like, you know, I think there's that's worthy of consideration for. I don't put political pressure on anybody, but if you want, that's something that's more about just neighbor, being neighbors. Okay, somebody else, I had some other hands up. Ah, there we go. There, hey there, he's angry. There, okay. Others, yes. There, yeah. Because I'm not going to Ukraine without you. Okay, and I mean, I'm not. That's, you know, this is not like a you know pastoral leadership 301. You know, where they teach you to manipulate your crowd by getting them praying for you or something. No, you have to understand something. I do not. I love Ukraine. I got people there like my own family, skin. You know, and I'll tell you what. I don't want to go there without your prayers. Okay, period. Because it's a blessing. It's a wonderful place, and there's great ministry opportunities and everything like that. But there is also opposition, and there are opportunities that we'll miss. Because we'll be dull of mind. We'll be traveling and, you know, and all kinds of new stuff and the opportunities to, and there's more at the tables. But anyways, but, you know, and so you got to just walk with us and pray with us. Because when we get back and you start hearing about what God did, you're going to want to go. And then you're going to be saying, I hope people pray for me when I go. All right, so, you know, this is just an opportunity. All right, my son Adam and my wife, they've been there. Other people have been there. And they all say the same thing. You got to get more people from this church to go with you over there and be a part of that ministry. And so, yeah. Yes. Yes, she said it was just people live in Henrietta. Yeah, you got to live in Henrietta to sign that, because otherwise they're kind of going, eh, who cares? Okay. Oh, sure, yeah, yeah. There we go. There we go. We'll become for one day the Watermelon Church. Yes, indeed. All right. That's good. That's good. Well, so we've been doing this thing about the Spirit of God. And you know, the Holy Spirit, here's one of the things. I think one of the reasons sometimes why we tend to almost have him in this different place is because the one person in the Godhead who really doesn't talk about himself. All right? Because that's really not. You know, for the Spirit of God to be rejoicing over you, what he's here to do is to tell you about Jesus, to remind you what he said, and to form him in you. All right, that's what it's about. All right, and so, you know, we're going to talk this morning about the promises and the Spirit of Christ, okay? Because, like, in Ephesians 2:10 just says this, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." Okay, so you are his workmanship. God has created you as a setting to hold a jewel, and then he put that gift in you. All right, and so you are equipped by the Holy Spirit, by God, all right, for God's purposes. All right, this is, you know, one of the promises, the better promises on which this new covenant that we live in as Christians is built upon is the promise of the Holy Spirit. All right, that, you know, he's the promise of the Father. All right, Jesus, and you know, Peter on the day of Pentecost, you know, he gets up and he says, you know, these men are not drunk like you think, he says, but this is that which Joel, you know, the prophet Joel told us about, and basically what he says, look, and he, meaning Jesus, being at the right hand of God exalted, has shed forth this which you now see and hear, all right? And so what were they seeing? They're seeing this baptism of the Holy Spirit, okay? Now, if you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, you got the Holy Spirit, he's dwelling in you. You want to find out what it's all about? You start seeking God for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and let that empowerment from on high, that endowment with power from on high to be a witness, come upon you. And I would just encourage, we'll pray with you. Come up here, we'll pray for you. But I mean, but to seek him for that, because I'm going to tell you what, you know, you get that thing that happened on the day of Pentecost happening. Do you know how come we got a lot of it in the world today? There's a bunch of people, and the theology of the day had said this, look, you know, that whole thing, the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the gifts and all that stuff, that was the apostolic era. And anyways, and they checked their Bibles out, and they're looking for the part that said it ended. And they couldn't find it. And so they were sitting around in prayer meetings, interestingly enough, in places all around the world, in Wichita, Kansas, and out in out where is Azusa Street? Los Angeles? I don't know. It's out that way, California. the left coast, okay, up here, right down the block here, Elam Ministry Center up in the city of Rochester. They, interestingly enough, there's a narrow way that leads to salvation. There's a broad way that leads to destruction. They tore down the Elam Ministry Center at some point and put in a street called Broadway. Okay, so if you're on Broadway, you're right where the Holy Spirit fell in Rochester. So anyways, but these people, like, all over the world, India, you know, just, you know, Africa, you know, all over the place, you know, England, they got together and they started praying and said, I wonder what God would do if we just asked him to do this. Because, you know, if he does it, he does it. If he doesn't do it, he doesn't do it. But, you know, let's just ask him to do it. So they started getting together and praying and seeking God, saying, God, if you're still doing this, could you do that with us? And bam, 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 bam. All around the world, people just started getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. And, you know, this started to break forth. All right? So I'm not a big one for trying to kind of whoop it up in you, you know. But, I mean, but when God does it, God does it. And it's real. And it's life transforming. All right, so Ephesians 4, 1 through 7 just says this. Therefore I, and by the way, if you're looking at the notes I gave you, it didn't move this thing, so it kind of, you know, it's a little odd here. All right, because I'm using big notes because that way I don't have to use my reading glasses, okay? Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called. Okay, he's up here talking about how his workmanship created for these good works, and now he's talking about our calling, okay? With all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, in the bond of peace, for there is one body, there is one Spirit, just as you also were called in the hope of your calling, keeping in mind that there are people teaching all kinds of heresy at this point. He said, look, there is one faith, all right, and I'm going to tell you about it here. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. All right? And so, you know, so, okay, so we're talking about this whole thing of promise and what God promised and God unfolding these promises. And I'm not going to go into detail here except to say that, see, when God began dealing with the Jewish people and Abraham and kind of moving on forward, all right, God made promises to him. He made three promises in particular. He promised them that, you know, you're going to be multitudinous. All right, you are also going to, you know, be a blessing to the whole world. Okay, and I'm going to give you this land. So he gave me kind of three promises. Actually, let's see here. It was multiplied land, and then this idea, this promise to his seed. And it's pointed out to us in the New Testament. He didn't say seeds; he said seed. All right, singular. That there was somebody who was going to come forth from Abraham. All right, that was going to be the one that was going to take this blessing to the whole world. Now, I've pointed this out before, and I'll just make mention of it again. These people were surrounded by people who worshipped everything and anything, okay? They all had their gods and all the just, you know, and if you hadn't researched it lately, you probably wouldn't be able to name one of them, all right? And out in the middle of the wilderness, God appears to Abraham, and he says to him, you know, look, you know, I'm God, and, you know, and he tells him these things, and Abraham believes him, and it's accounted to him for righteousness, and he tells him at some point, I'm going to make you a blessing to the whole world, and your seed is going to, you know, is going to bring this blessing. And it came true, right? I mean, we're now counting the unreached people groups. We can now count them, the people who have never heard the gospel, all right, in the whole world. Of 8 billion people, just so you know, we can identify now those who haven't heard. All right? That is not true for any of the gods that were surrounding them. All right? And so there was these promises. All right? So this new covenant was going to be built on what the book of Hebrews tells us were better promises. All right? And that there would be fruitfulness through those promises. Now, Peter, in 2 Peter 1 through 8, is a favorite scripture of mine. He says, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Not knowing about, knowing him, that there is a blessing of grace to be multiplied in us through knowing him. You got to seek him to know him. You can read about him all day long, and that's a good thing, all right, but the better thing is to get beyond the book and start going for the person. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us precious and magnificent promises. Okay, promises again. That by them he might be partakers of the divine nature. All right? Partakers of the divine nature. All right, and I'm going to close out pretty soon here. Some days I'm having a harder day than other days. How about you? Okay? Yeah. You know, some days, you know, it's kind of like I'm sure glad that nobody's following me around with a camera, you know. All right. Oh, I hope they didn't catch that, you know. Oops, you know, a little foot and mouth kind of thing going on here, you know, or attitudinal adjustment needed on this one, you know. It's like, you know, it's AA stamped on me, and it's not Alcoholics Anonymous, attitude adjustment, you know, and put me in the pile, you know, and, you know. But see, here's what it is. We, through these promises, you know, that we have, by grace through faith, the promise of forgiveness of sins, a new life from above that's going to come and dwell in us, the Holy Spirit, all right, and eternal life and blessing with Him. And these better promises, and there's more, all right, but those are just a few, just to give you an idea, that based on these promises, the promise of the Holy Spirit, I can become a partaker of the nature of the one who dwells in me, the Holy Spirit. That I can start to come into alignment through repentance and just say, God, I'm sorry, that was wrong. Please forgive me and help me. Lord, I take responsibility for that. No, it's not. I'm not going to blame everybody else like I usually do. Lord, I'll take responsibility for that. I ask the Holy Spirit to change me. All right? That we can become partakers of the divine nature. Now, that's the repentance side, but then there's the power side of this. See, because the divine nature also indicates the impartation of authority and power to us to accomplish the things that God desires to accomplish. Praying for healing and stuff. We should expect that when we pray, people will be healed. We should expect that when we pray for people, that they're going to be set free from the things that are troubling them. All right? There are times when God says, go minister to this one. There are times that God says, back off. You leave them to me. They're mine. I'll take care of it. You know, just, you're going to mess this up. Do not, you know, I always go back to my friend Susie Harris. Harrison, Susie Harrison, and anyways, and her husband who decided he was going to fix her radio. She told him, "Don't you touch that." Okay. Well, there's times that, you know, we want to fix stuff, and God says, "Don't you touch that. I'll take care of that. You don't have what that one needs. So just leave him alone, and I'll take care of him. I might bring somebody else to him. Oh my word, would that be a mistake or a problem for us? I hope not. Okay. All right. So with this, okay, for if these qualities, and there's some qualities that come forth from this divine nature that we're partaking of, for if these qualities are yours and increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, okay? And so we're going to take a look next week into what these promises are and how they work, because God, he gave to the people of Israel his laws. His statutes, his ordinances. But there's a point which he said, you know, I haven't given you hearts to understand or eyes to see or ears to hear. You know, that, you know, and this is, goes on and on. Isaiah mentions it as well, you know, that they didn't have that. But he said, you know, there's a different time coming. And I'm going to take these things and I'm going to put them in their hearts. And they're going to be on their minds and in their hearts. And I'm going to bless them and they're going to be changed people. All right. And so we're going to talk about this and about how the Holy Spirit, you know, kind of works into all of that. And so I'm going to close with this. It's actually at the end of your notes, if you take a peek at it, okay? And it says this, the Spirit of Christ is the gift of Christ, all right? The Spirit of Christ reveals Christ to us, okay? He'll bear witness of me in John 15:26. But the Holy Spirit of God desires to form Christ in us. That's his ministry. That's his ministry. And I want to encourage you, in these summer months when we can kind of get back into our hammocks a little bit, and that's all right, you know, but that this might be the time that God chooses to form Christ in you in some new ways, all right? They're going to open up times of rejoicing in life to just realize that thing I thought I'd never be free of, I'm free. And that as we invite him and desire to have Christ formed in us, that we might have opportunities, because this is the time when people get out of the house and go talk to each other. You know, in the wintertime, we kind of huddle inside around the campfire and stuff, and, you know, but this is the summertime. This is when the neighbors are out. This is when you're interacting with people more. That this might be the season, all right? This might be the time when God desires to form that little something of Christ in you that turns the key for that person that, that you're meeting. And you may not have any idea what you're doing, but God does. He's foreordained good works for you to walk in them, and he has caused you to be his workmanship. And just so you know, it's not just a past tense kind of thing. He's still working on us, right? He's still forming stuff in us.
Thanks so much for listening to this podcast, brought to you every week by Henrietta Christian Fellowship, located at 1085 Middle Road in Rush, New York. If you have a prayer request or a need, we want you to know that we're here for you. Please send us an email at henriettacf@gmail.com. That's henriettacf@gmail.com. Once again, thank you for listening, and God bless.